This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inu bihi wa nastaghfiruhu wa nastahdihi. ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم وبعد. Respected brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, once again it's an honor, it's a privilege to visit Toronto and specifically the Islamic Foundation of Toronto, participating in this Youth Tarbiyah Conference. Sheikh Nazim was talking about Canada being the best country. I probably agree, and this is the reason why this is probably like my third time this year that I've come to Toronto. If not for anything else, maybe just for the Tim Hortons coffee, okay? I think that's the best thing that you've got, maybe the only thing you've got. Maybe you have other things as well, but Tim Hortons coffee, definitely, you know, I normally say that I would take a flight just to come, have a double-double or a triple-triple. I just had a triple-triple on my way here. And now I thought double-double was the best, but now I've had a change of opinion. The fatwa has changed. It's triple-triple, alhamdulillah. So, inshallah, it is a good country, one of the best countries, without a doubt. May Allah protect all of you, the Muslims in this country, and may Allah give us peace and security in our lands. The topic, the title, the theme of the conference that we have is a very important theme. We heard in the previous talk some very important issues, practical issues. But what I want to do in the few minutes that we have with us is to, I actually picked up the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi, which is a very important hadith book, collection of hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have the six famous books, Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and then we have the four Sunans, Sunan Abu Dawood, Sunan al-Nasa'i, Sunan Ibn Majah, and then we have Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi. There's a chapter here. I want to, inshallah, maybe just use the short time that we have in front of us, taking a chapter which has a hadith, and inshallah, translating that hadith and providing some sort of commentary. So this is basically like a lesson on hadith, inshallah. This chapter is named and titled Babu Maja'a fi Salatil Hajah. Imam al-Tirmidhi has this title. Chapter regarding the prayer of need. Haja. Haja means a need. We hear Salatul Haja, the prayer of need. But this is a specific chapter that this great muhaddith, Imam Abu Isa al-Tirmidhi, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, has compiled and selected chapter regarding Salatul Haja. And he has a very important hadith talking about how to perform the prayer of need in times of difficulties and hardships, and the specific dua that should be recited, which I will inshallah translate and read it in front of you. But before I just do that, briefly, as you know, we have, all of us, we're involved in hardships, difficulties, and this is what this life is about. Trials, tribulations, we face them, sicknesses, illnesses, we have family problems, we have problems in our communities, we have social problems, we have collective problems, and we have individual problems. All of us, we actually face problems. And this is what Allah chose for us. This is what this dunya is about. If we think that we can never have problems or difficulties or hardships, then that we are mistaken. We have not understood the reality of dunya. Dunya is something where We have a combination of good and bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created three worlds. We have Jannah, we have Jahannam. Jannah is eternal bliss, paradise, comfort, and peace and tranquility, and just all the bliss that you can think of, no hardship whatsoever. And we have another alam, another world, which is Jahannam. May Allah protect and save us all. Ameen ya Rab. But that is full of all hardships and difficulties. In the middle is the dunya. This world is a combination of bliss, good, and also difficulties and hardships. And this is a test. And Allah has created this world. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We will test you. Indeed, we will test you. You, all of, Allah is talking to us, meaning all of you, all of us. We will test every single one of you. Every single human, whether you're a prophet, or whether you're a pious individual, whether you're an average Muslim, whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, whether you're an old man, old woman, male, female, whoever you are, we will test you. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, with fear, some sort of fear. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, you'll have fear. Sometimes we live in fear in these lands, right? So we will test you with fear. وَالْجُوعِ, and hunger. وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, in your economic life, in the economic aspect of your life, financially will test you. You will have financial hardships and difficulties. وَالْأَنْفُسِ, and also in terms of life, people passing away, your parents, your children, people sometimes have babies and sons, they pass away. وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, and even food sometimes, you go through poverty and hardship and difficulty. Then Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, every one of you will be tested, but give glad tidings to the ones who exercise patience and sabr. And they say, there are those that say, أَلَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ, they are those people when they are afflicted with the difficulty, with hardships, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Whenever, any hardship, difficulty, they say, and not just say it, but they actually understand the reality. Remember, all these phrases and terms, they're not just there for the sake of saying them verbally and uttering them and pronouncing them. There's a hidden, deep meaning, and we should actually reflect and understand and reflect and ponder over the deep meanings. It's not just like, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and you don't really know what you're saying. There's a really deep meaning. I mean, we can do a whole talk on just, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We all belong to Allah. We will return to Allah. If someone's passed away, Allah sent that person to us. And Allah has taken, returning back to Allah. Even we have come, Allah has sent us in this world, Allah will take us back. If you have some hardships and difficulties financially, Allah is the one who provided you that risk and the sustenance and that money and wealth and that property. And Allah is taking it back. If someone borrowed you something and took it back, would you feel really sad about it? No, it's his right. Like, you know, the famous story of Abu Talha and Ummu Sulaym radiallahu anhuma, the hadith that's mentioned and quoted in many books, where his son had passed away. I don't have the time to go into it, but remember, the wife, you must have heard of the story, that the son was quite ill and sick, and when he came back, Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, when he came back, the wife said, what do you think? Tell me, if our neighbors borrowed us some oil or something and they took it back, wanted it back, do they have a right? He said, indeed, of course they have a right. He said, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our Lord, gifted us a child. He's taken the child back. It's his right. He gave us something. You never had a child before this. If Allah takes away a child, if Allah takes away parents, Allah is the one who gave you parents, and Allah is the one who's taking away the parents. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So we all find difficulties and hardships, all of us. And one point here about hardships and difficulties, and I think Mufti Nazim mentioned this as well before I came in, I heard in the corridor, that hardships and difficulties are of two types. Sometimes they are a punishment, niqmah, an azab min Allah. And at times it's actually a blessing in disguise, purification of sins, elevation of rank, forgiveness of sins. وَلَنُذِقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ. One of the meanings of this is that Allah says, we will give you punishment in this life. So it's a punishment. But sometimes it's not a punishment. It is elevation of rank. It's because Allah loves you. And this is the reason why many prophets, every single prophet, went through trials and tribulations. There's two types of trials and tribulations. How do you discover or determine or detect whether this is a punishment or is it a form of blessings from Allah? The way is easy. If at the time of difficulties and hardships, if a person starts complaining, you know, is it only me Allah chose to give difficulties? Was I the only one left in this world? Couldn't Allah give this difficulty to someone else? People say those kind of, wal'ayadu billah, people say those kind of statements that could even border kufr. Complaining. I mean, you can make dua, but complaining and moving away from the Siratul Mustaqim. And if at that time someone was praying, they stopped praying. Someone was doing good righteous acts, and they, what did they do? They stopped doing the righteous acts. This unfortunately is a sign that this particular difficulty and hardship is actually a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if it's the opposite, the person was practicing, and in times of distress and difficulty and hardship, rather than becoming more lax, this individual increases his prayer. He turns more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this is a sign that it's a form of purification of one's sins. It's a form of purification of one's sins. It's elevation of one's rank. It's a gift and bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah tests everyone, even the prophets. As I was saying, actually, we as humans, we, you know, as the followers of the prophets, we have not experienced and we will never experience even a portion of the difficulties and the hardships, whether it's individual, societal, or collective. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the difficulties they went through, there is no comparison. We think that's it, the whole world, everybody's against us, Muslims are going through so much difficulty. If you were to live in the time of the Sahaba, you think this is Jannah paradise. Seriously, nothing compared to what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum underwent and experienced. Nothing compared to the difficulties and hardships experienced by the prophets of Allah, Yunus, peace be upon him, and the rest of the other prophets, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's a hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا صَبَّ عَلَيْهِ الْبَلَاءُ صَبَّ. إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا صَبَّ عَلَيْهِ الْبَلَاءُ صَبًّا. When Allah really loves His slave, He inflicts many difficulties on that person. For a reason, for a wisdom, for a hikmah, for a reason that Allah knows best, right? So, many prophets, I mean, they experience extreme difficulties and hardships. أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاء ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. The most tested, the ones who face the most difficulty and hardship, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does he say? The most difficulty and hardship is faced by the Anbiya, by the prophets, and then the ones closest to them, ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ, then the ones most closest to them. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salatu afdal at-taslim, thrown in the fire of hell, a'udhu billah, thrown in the fire by Namrud. He was thrown into the fire. Imagine, has anybody been thrown in a fire here? Anybody? Nobody. This is a prophet of Allah being thrown into the fire by the king of the time. No one's even come close to experiencing that. The same prophet of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu afdalu taslim, he has been commanded and ordered by Allah to slaughter his son. Somebody, if Allah forbid, if Allah takes away your child, think, I haven't been commanded by Allah to slaughter my son. Has Allah told anybody to slaughter dhabah of his own son? The same prophet thrown in the fire and then commanded to slaughter his own son. All the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should remember and reflect on this, that difficulties and hardships are faced by everybody. Right? I mean, this is one very important issue. We sometimes think that, you know, difficulties and hardships should not come our way. It's part and parcel of being in this world. It's a part of the life of a human. If you're a human, you will find difficulties. You will experience hardships. If you're a human, it's a given fact. Remember that. Reflect on that. And sometimes, you know, people make this mistake. I was mentioning this yesterday as well, that we think if we practice Islam, that means we should not face difficulties. If we are good Muslims, like a lot of times people make this, you know, expressions and statements. You know, I pray, but still Allah's not helping me. Since when was praying connected to Allah, you know, not giving you any difficulties and hardships? If that was the case, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have had no hardships, no difficulties. This is a mistaken, wrong, false understanding. And this is actually a reason why some people's iman and faith becomes weak. I spoke to a sister a couple of weeks ago. She was calling me so many times. And then this is a statement, a repeated statement. She's going through some difficulty. I am making dua. I am praying. I pray so much. But still, it's not happening. There's a reason. There's a wisdom. Allah accepts du'as in different ways. Different people's supplications and du'as are accepted in different ways. Allah accepts without a doubt. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ. Allah has told us categorically, emphatically, clearly, I will accept the dua, the supplication of the one who supplicates. But, like Imam Ibn Ata'illah al-Sikandari says, that not in a way that you want, not in a manner that you choose, in a manner that Allah chooses. Allah without doubt accepts the supplication, but in a manner that He has chosen. في وقت اختاره لا في وقت تختاره. In a time that He chooses, not on a time that you choose. His time of accepting your dua could be in the next life. He might know a reason, wisdom, that this giving you this particular blessings or removing this difficulty or hardship is not really good for you at this time. Maybe if He removes and alleviates this difficulty, you might probably then stop practicing Islam. You might become lax. But He knows that this is to keep you in check. Like there's a hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he said to Allah that fulanun abduka, your slave, iqdi hajatahu, fulfill his need, he's supplicating to you. He said, no, not now. Uhibbu an asma' sawtahu. I love that to hear His voice when He's crying and beseeching and begging me. At least it's making you come to the mosque. At least you're crying. Maybe you won't even do dua afterwards. So Allah will respond to the prayer, to the dua. But at a time that He chooses, in a way that He chooses. If you're asking for one thing, Allah might respond by accepting that dua, by giving you something else, not the thing, item you have chosen. Or maybe removing a hardship, difficulty. So this mistake should never be made. Do not connect the practicing of Islam, the doing of good deeds, with removal of hardships and difficulties. Yes, we make dua. It may be a blessing. We should still make dua. It doesn't mean, somebody like once said to me when I said this, does that mean that I keep on asking Allah, it's a blessing, so give me more hardships? No. Like one of the shaykhs said, that difficulties and hardships are also blessings from Allah, and afia, well-being, is also a blessing of Allah. So you make a dua, oh Allah, I am asking you, I am a weak human being, I'm a very weak human being. I ask you, I beg you, I beseech you to remove your ni'mah of hardships and replace it with the ni'mah of afia and well-being. Both are ni'mah. Oh Allah, I, rather than that, the ni'mah of hardships, I would want the ni'mah of afiyah. And we should ask for afiyah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, Salillah al-afiyah. Ask Allah for well-being. We should also make a dua all the time. It's a prophetic dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka as-sihhata wal-iffata wal-amanata wa husn al-khuluq. Sihha. We ask Allah for health. صحة والعفة chastity والأمانة وحسن الخلق. trustworthiness and good character. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi d-dini wal-dunya wal-akhirati. Oh Allah, I ask you for afwa, forgiveness, wal-afiyah. It's a prophetic dua. It should be made a habit after every prayer. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah. Ask Allah for well-being. But remember that if you are undergoing difficulties and hardships, then it is a blessing inshallah if you are still steadfast on Sirat al-Mustaqim. It's a ni'mah and gift and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we can make dua and ask Allah, well, I am a weak servant. I am very weak. I am a weak slave. I cannot bear this ni'mah of hardship and stress. Alleviate this difficulty from me and replace it with the ni'mah, the bounty, the gift of well-being, of afiyah. Anyway, what do we do? Some practical steps were mentioned. But this chapter, in which Imam At-Tirmidhi radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he has mentioned a hadith regarding Salatul Hajjah. One of the many ways to ask Allah to remove hardships from us. He says, حَدَّثَنَا عَلِيُّ بْنُ عِيسَى بْنِ يَزِيدَ الْبَغْدَادِي قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ بَكْرٍ السَّهْمِيُّ وحدثنا عبد الله بن منير عن عبد الله بن بكر عن فائد بن عبد الرحمن عن عبد الله بن أبي أوفى. That's a chain of transmission. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم says, عبد الله بن أبي أوفى, a huge companion, relating from the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, where the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, من كانت له إلى الله حاجة أو إلى أحد من بني آدم. Any human being who has a need towards another, towards Allah, or towards, he has a need which he needs to it to be fulfilled from another human being, whether it's a need directly related to Allah, everything's related to Allah, but if it's directly like the forgiveness of sins, right, or the need is related to some fellow human, min bani Adam, the children of Adam, you want someone to pay your debt, you want someone to help you out, okay? Whichever type of need it is, whatever type of need it is, this is what a Muslim needs to do. This is what a believer does. And this shows us the difference between a believer and a non-believer. Someone who doesn't have faith. In Islam, Allah tells us, the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, this is the difference between al kafiri wal muslim, between a believer and a non-believer. The one who has faith in Allah, she takes the means in the dunya, but reliance and tawakkul is on Allah. This is what you need to do. Not only this, but this is the most important thing to do in terms of the removal of hardships. We take the means. The disbeliever, the non-believer, will only take the means and rely on the means. If it's like, for example, you want a job. Someone who doesn't have faith in Allah, you want a job, out of work, unemployment problems and difficulties, he will put in the effort, put in the endeavor, go to different places, submit the request, go to an interview, maybe go onto Google and check some interview tips. Dress this way, you have to wear these type of shoes. If they look at you in the eye, you have to look at them in the eye, smile, be, you know, taking all the tips of trying to get employment, try to get all these letters of support and recommendation from people, taking all the asbab al-dhahira, external means. A believer, does he do that? Yes, we can do that as well. But we do not rely on the asbab al-dhahira. After doing all of this, we say, finally, ultimately, it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer realizes everything's in the power, everything's in the hands of Allah, Allahu qadirun ala kulli shay. Take the means, take the asbab, but rely on the musabbibul asbab, the maker of the means. Rely on Allah. We forget, the way we interact in this world, we always, our reliance sometimes, It's like dua is maybe the last thing. Okay, maybe dua, yeah, brother, just do dua for me. But do you really think the dua is the main thing that's going to help you? No. It's like maybe if, you know, 0.25%. Unfortunately, our reliance is totally on the asbab. It shouldn't be like that. We take the means. And the only reason we take the means is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has commanded us to take the means. This is our religion. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make a dua. Allahumma hadha al-juhd wa alayka tuklan. He used to put in the effort and he would say, O Allah, this is the effort, this is the endeavor. Wa alayka tuklan. The reliance is on you. If you're ill and sick, don't just rely on Allah. You take the means. You know, if you become ill and sick, doctor, no, I'm just going to make dua. That's not also Islam. Islam says, no, take the means. If you're ill, if you're sick, go to the doctor. Take some, paracetamols, right? You guys don't have paracetamols here. Tylenols. No problem. But at the same time, make a silent dua. Oh Allah, it's in your hands. You are the one who's created these medicines. Sometimes, you know, you see for yourself, the same medicine has affected one individual, but no effect on another one. You know, sometimes we think, whoa, this was just magic. What a coincidence. The guy had a car crash. There was no possible chance for him to survive. We just don't know. It's just an amazing coincidence. Remember, brothers and sisters, there is no coincidence in this world. Nothing's by coincidence in this world. Nothing happens by coincidence. Everything is in the power, in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take the means, take the dawa, take the medication, but rely on the dua. Dawa, thumma ba'dahu dua. Take the medication, reliance on dua, upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can take the means, right? But always rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we need to do. A Muslim, whatever difficulty, hardship, whether it's illness, sickness, job problems, financial problems, economic problems, hardships in life, family problems, what do? You take the means. Take the means, but then rely on Allah. This is what Imam Tirmidhi is saying here. This is what we call Salatul Hajah. And ensure to strengthen your iman and yaqeen. Unfortunately, our iman and yaqeen has become very low. Our reliance on Allah, we think that's maybe like 1% chance, as I said. And if we, I tell you something seriously, if we truly have firm yaqeen and reliance and trust in Allah, brothers, you will see in your own life amazing miracles. Have you ever heard of Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu? A great companion, sahabi of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the great warrior, Khalid ibn al-Walid. He was with a Muslim army. He used to be in Syria, Sham, in a place called Hims. I visited Hims. There's a masjid there by his name, Jami' Khalid ibn al-Walid. Still there, near the masjid, in the corner is his grave. He's buried there in Hims. He's the Fatih, the conqueror of Hims. Hims is like in the middle, you know, it's a few hundred kilometers from Damascus, which is the capital, central Syria. He was in Hims. And what they did, and I've also seen this castle, this is Qil'atu Hims, the castle of Hims. The Muslim army under the leadership of Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu circulated the fort, the castle of the enemies in Hims. Still there, you can go, people, Muslims, non-Muslims, people go and visit. It's historical. I mean, in Syria, Jordan, you'll see so many historical castles and forts, some of them still surviving 2,000 years, you know, they're still there. Many people go and visit. So this Hims castle is still there. And Allah protect these old classical historical places. You know, a lot of the things have been destroyed in Baghdad and Iraq, unfortunately, classical things and historical buildings. So they surrounded. One of the leader of the enemies came out with a proposal of peace and truce with the Muslim army. He came to Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, and he had a small bottle in his hand which had some poison or something. He said, look, we want to do some peace with you, sign a peace treaty, have a truce. Khalid ibn Walid said, okay, we can discuss this. what's in your hand? He said, I've brought some poison with me. He said, why? He said, the reason is that my people, they've said, look, you have to go and get an agreement. Have some peace, a treaty done. If you don't, then you're going to be in trouble. He said, look, you know, we are very scared in there. I've brought some poison with me. If I'm able to negotiate a peace treaty, good and fine and great. If not, you know what? This is the poison. I'm just going to take it. I'm just going to die. I cannot go back. Khalid ibn Walid said, give me the bottle. He took the bottle. He said, what are you doing? He said, it's okay. I'm taking it. He said, you know this poison? This is such a poison that nobody in the world has lived to tell you the taste of the poison. Because it's so deep, this poison, and so effective and so powerful. As soon as you taste it and it goes down your throat, instantly you die. Nobody's even lived and survived to even relate the taste of it. Khalid ibn Walid, this is not a made-up story. This is fact. This is not a made-up story. It's in the books with authentic narrations. Seriously, this is not a made-up story. He took the poison. He said, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'u al-alim. Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'u al-alim. Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'u al-alim. And he took the poison. He's surviving. He said, I'll tell you how the taste is now. Nobody's lived. This is the taste. And he told him. And he lived. Nothing happened to him. Subhanallah, just imagine. Why? Because he had extreme yaqeen in this dua. This is a really powerful dua. It's a prophetic dua. Remember, there are many duas. Some are prescribed by certain scholars and pious people. You can read them. But give more importance to those supplications that were recited by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. It's such an effective dua. At night, whoever recites Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'u al-alim, nothing will harm him till morning. You read this in the morning, nothing will harm you till evening. It's a very powerful dua. Because Allah, he had yaqeen and faith on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah showed him a miracle. If we have that sort of yaqeen and reliance and trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what a believer does. He has firm yaqeen on Allah. So in this hadith which Imam al-Tirmidhi has mentioned, he said, "Man kanat lahu ila Allahi haja," whoever has a need towards Allah, direct needs to Allah, "aw ila ahadin min bani Adam," or the need is towards any human, like you want, you know, employment, or you want a loan from somebody, or someone's not paying off their loan to you, then what should he do? فَلْيَتَوَضَّأْ وَلْيُحْسِنِ الْوُضُوءَ. He should first perform wudu. And then the hadith says, وَلْيُحْسِنِ الْوُضُوءَ. Perfect your wudu. Not like quick, fast. Perfect your wudu. Without getting involved in OCD as well, right? That's another problem. Sometimes people take like 20 minutes doing wudu. This is a big disease right now, seriously. I meet every week, someone calls me or emails me with an OCD problem. Every week, guaranteed. Wallahi, I'm not joking, for the past 2 years, average a person a week, where people have diseases, you know, this OCD disease. Most of the people who ask questions nowadays is like those people who have these kind of waswasa problem from shaitan. So don't overdo it. Don't spend like 10 hours doing ghusl and doing wudu for 20 minutes or half an hour. But فَلْيُحْسِنِ الْوُضُوءَ. Carry out all the basic adab and etiquettes of wudu. Let him do wudu properly. Read the dua after performing wudu. Allahumma ja'alni min al-tawabin wa ja'alni min al-mutatahirin. And after doing the wudu, then he says, ثُمَّ يُصَلِّي رَكْعَتَيْن. Then he should perform two rak'at of prayer with the intention of need. Two rak'at. There is no specific way of offering these two rak'at. There is no specific surah recommended as sunnah. Scholars do mention, however, that it's maybe good that you read in the first rak'ah, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, or maybe إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ in the second rak'ah. It's recommendation of certain scholars, it's their experience, but it's not necessarily established through the sunnah. It's just like any normal two rak'ahs of nafil and voluntary prayer. After that, ثُمَّ الْيُثْنِي عَلَى اللَّهِ. After assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, you finish your prayer, let him start making dua. Then he should praise Allah. Start off with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? You're thanking Allah, you're praising Allah because you have one difficulty, hardship. Allah has blessed you with hundreds and thousands of, you know, ni'am. Allah has blessed you with bounties, numerous bounties and gifts. So you praise Allah. Oh Allah, I have eyes to see. I have ears. I have a body. I have so much good that you've given. This is only one hardship. There's numerous gifts and bounties that you have given me, oh Allah. So you praise Allah. But the problem is, in al insan al kafur, a human being is very ungrateful. We, you know, sometimes we don't realize. Like I met once a brother, he was telling me in the car, he was saying, there's times, this was like 2-3 years ago, economic times, times are so difficult, hardships, you know, like, you know, I'm just finding it so difficult, I'm depressed, times are tough. He said, and then he's carrying on, yeah, I've got like 5-6 properties, but you know, there's one property here, there's a problem, some rent is not coming here, he's got about 6 properties, I'm thinking to myself, there are people who are sleeping on the road, they don't even have a shelter or a roof over their heads, and this guy's going on about things are so difficult and a hardship, and you know, I have 5-6 properties, like, you know, on the side, I have 5-6 properties. 5-6 properties. I don't even have one property. I mean, are you kidding me, like you guys say here? Are you kidding me? That you have hardships and difficulties. But the problem is, insan, human is, you know, we only think about our own selves. If you have a hardship, that's it. You have the most hardships in the world. Nobody else has hardships. Like Mufti Taqi Uthmani, one of my teachers, once mentioned that somebody in his family, a lady, she had stomach problems, they took her to the hospital, her family were trying to tell her, that, you know what, do sabr, it's okay, you've got a stomach pain, inshallah, the doctor will come, things will be sorted out. She was an old lady. Suddenly they were coming out of the lift and they saw someone who was burnt from head to toe, skin burnt. They said, look, you know, look at this patient, completely burnt. She said, yeah, she's burnt, but she doesn't have stomach pains. She doesn't have stomach pains. She's just thinking about her own hardship. Does not even have time to consider. We live in this country. Go think about Africa. Think about all the people in the prisons. Think about all the people in the hospital. That's why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sahih Muslim, he said, "Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum wa la tanzuru ila man huwa fawqakum fa innahu ajdaru an la tazdaru ni'mat Allah." Look at the people in the world who are below you. Asfala minkum. This is a way to be happy and content as well. وَلَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكُمْ. Do not look at people above you. If you own a property, don't look at people who have a mansion. Think of people who are living in rented properties. If you're living in a rented property, think about people who are sleeping, you know, on the streets. Homeless people. There are countless people who are homeless. But the one people, it's as though people, you know, we have just different divisions. The ones who own properties and have mansions, they're, you know, definition of hardship is different to the definition of an average worker, an average class person. His definition of hardship is something else. So we just live in our own worlds and in our small, you know, nests, and we think, like, you know, like the bird in the nest, if the nest is slightly moving, then that's hardship for that bird. So we think this is hardship. This is the biggest problem that we face. Think about so many people who are not as privileged as you are. Allah has given us so much. That's why the hadith says, after wudu, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about all the amazing bounties that Allah has blessed you with. And then, 2 rak'at, praising Allah. وَلْيُصَلِّ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. I'm concluding. And then send blessings on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because for a dua to be accepted, it's highly effective for one's dua to be accepted, to recite and send blessings on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are some hadiths like where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that dua is, you know, stuck in the middle. It doesn't get elevated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you don't recite blessings on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you send blessings on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then after that, the person should make this dua. This is the dua of hajah. This is salatul hajah. You should all take the time out to memorize this. This is, as I said, the sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi in the chapter Babu Maja'a fi Salatil Hajah. The hadith number is 479. Take it, memorize it. If you don't have time to offer 2 rak'at, then just recite the dua. This is the dua al-Hajah. What does the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said he should make this dua. He should say, La ilaha illallahul halimul kareem. No God but Allah. Al-Halim Al-Kareem. Two attributes, two qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned here. You could have said Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, but he chose Al-Halim Al-Kareem. Al-Halim is from the word Hilm, forbearance. Allah is forbearant. Oh Allah, we are asking Allah that, oh Allah, I am not in such a situation that my dua should be accepted. I don't deserve my dua to be accepted. I don't deserve your acceptance, but I hope from your quality, your attribute of Hilm and Kareem, you are generous. Oh Allah, I have hope in your amazing attribute of generosity, that you will overlook all my shortcomings and all my sins. You will overlook all my mistakes and errors, and you will, inshallah, through your amazing attribute and quality of generosity, you will accept my dua. La ilaha illallah al-halim al-kareem. Subhanallahi rabbil arshil azim. Glorified be Allah, purified be Allah, transcendent be Allah. Subhanallah, rabbil arshil azim, who is the Lord of the mighty arsh, throne. And then, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Praise to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. As'aluka mujibati rahmatik. Oh Allah, I ask of you, I beg of you. Mujibati rahmatika. I ask of you those things that necessitate your rahmah, your mercy. I am asking you of those things that bring about your rahmah and your mercy. I am begging you of those things. As'aluka mujibati rahmatik. Wa azaima maghfiratik. And I am asking you from you, your forgiveness, your powerful forgiveness. Your forgiveness I am begging of you. وَالْغَنِيمَةَ مِنْ كُلِّ بِرٍّ. And I share of every good deed. وَالسَّلَامَةَ مِنْ كُلِّ إِثْمٍ. And oh Allah, I ask you that I be saved and protected and safeguarded from every sin. لَا تَدَعْ لِي ذَنْبًا إِلَّا غَفَرْتَ. Do not leave any sin of mine except that you have forgiven it. وَلَا هَمَّنْ إِلَّا فَرَّجْتَ. And no hardship and no difficulty, O Allah, except that you have alleviated and removed that hardship from me. وَلَا حَاجَةً هِيَ لَكَ رِضًا إِلَّا قَضَيْتَهَا. In another riwayah, وَيَسَّرْتَهَا يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّحِيمِينَ. And I ask of you, Allah, no haja, no need that I have which pleases you. You might have a haja to do a sinful activity. So, هِيَ لَكَ رِضًا. It's something that pleases you. It does not go against your commands. I have this need. Illa qadaytaha. Except that you fulfill it. Wa yassartaha. You make it easy. Ya arhamar rahimeen. Oh merciful, the most merciful of the merciful. And this is the dua which is mentioned in this particular hadith. This is a dua of haja. This is what a believer does. Takes all the means, takes the asbab, whatever the difficulty, the hardship is, but then ultimately the reliance, the tawakkul is on the creator of the means. Inshallah, make a habit. When you have a hardship, do this. Rely on this more than everything else. Take all the means, but then rely on this. Have firm yaqeen, absolute trust and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And despite doing this, if your dua is not accepted, then remember the words of Imam Ibn Ata'illah al-Sikandari. He will respond to your prayer, but fi waqtin ikhtarahu la fi waqtin takhtarahu. In a time that he has chosen, not on a time that you have chosen. In a way that he has chosen, not in a way that you have chosen. May Allah bless all of us, inshallah. May Allah protect us, preserve us. May Allah remove hardship, difficulties, collective, individual, from our families, from our societies, from Muslims here. May Allah protect you all, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, barakallah feekum, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.